The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
I went through a time when I can tell you the enemy was so tormenting my mind that I thought, I am going to lose my entire soundness of mind.
Are you overwhelmed with life circumstances? Is your life filled with feelings of rejection, insecurity, and fear? Do you often feel like you're going to lose your mind?
I don't know how the mind of a man works. I just know the mind of a
woman. You don't need to know.
I'm sure that's true. I bet that's true.
A beautiful mind. Next.
Kind of wonderful and scary. I counted a moment ago, the studio is just packed to overflowing, and I think there are three men out here in the audience, bravest men I've ever seen in my life. And I'm going to hang in here. I'm James Robinson, full of courage. And this is my wife, Betty, and we have Beth Moore, and we are talking about a beautiful mind, and we are sharing this teaching series, which is talking about literally renewing the mind. It's talking about reclaiming and replacing our thoughts and reclaiming the territory to bring forth good fruit, talking about living in freedom, breaking free. This book, many of the viewers of Life Today and those of you who have seen Beth Moore on Wednesdays with Beth did not know about this incredible book that probably, I guess when Beth shared it in the early days of teaching the incredible seminars all over the United States, this book was revolutionary in the sense that so many people found freedom because of her journey, her story, and the incredible truths that she shares. And we're offering that book along with Betty's journey and story, Free to Be Me, How God Could Take Someone That Was Totally With Her Own and Shy and Filled with Fear and put her here and send her as a missionary all over the world. And she's always had that beautiful smile, but the liberty inside so many people identify with. So we're offering these incredible inspirational materials and the teaching that Beth has to all of you, and we're going to be talking about claiming this territory right here, renewing the mind, because this really is the battlefield. Would all of you here join Betty and me in welcoming Beth Moore to Life Today? Well, Beth, it's always a joy.
You know, the miracle is that Keith and I get to just feel at home here, that even to walk out here and see these faces and just be part of this, the whole Life Outreach ministry is so incredible. So I want you to know we're just so humbled to get to partner with you guys. We love you so much.
Well, we love you, and we thank God. Our viewers know that you and Keith have been to the mission field, and you've seen what is happening, and you're so supportive, and we want to thank you. But I want us to get into this particular subject matter where we're talking about a beautiful mind. And really and truly, I think many people don't understand that this really is the battlefield.
Yes, indeed.
And we do have an enemy of all truth, an enemy of the peace and the joy that God intended for us. And for the life God intends, the enemy is attacking in our thoughts. And I found out years ago that a lot of the thoughts I have come as suggestions from that enemy.
That's right.
And they're not all just originating with me. I'm responsible for them, but I do have a lot of suggestions. I have a lot of ammunition coming at me. So I want you to share why this is so important to you and just sort of take us into this particular, let's say, study of the mind and this battlefield and how we can, in fact, get a beautiful mind.
You know, what really inspired me was the portion out of 2 Timothy 1, something that many of us have memorized out of God's Word. I love it in the NIV, but my very favorite rendering of it is out of the New King James, because it says that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love. And I love this particular wording, a sound mind, that we have been given by God. Just like we were given a spirit of power and a spirit of love, He has given us a sound mind. And I began to reflect on all the ways the enemy tries to destroy a servant of God and a child of God by tormenting the mind. And it occurred to me that I could not remember ever having heard a sermon on really reclaiming the soundness of your own mind. And for somebody to just say out loud, haven't all of us at one time or another thought, I am losing my ever-loving gourd? I mean, am I the only one that just...
Well, I've had some people tell me I'm losing my...
I mean, it is. I don't think there's anything scarier than that. And one reason, and I love to laugh about it, and I love to poke fun at it, and I love to just sometimes just think, I'll tell Keith from time to time, you have no idea what it's like to live inside of here. It's like I have 10 women in here at once. Anybody else feel that way besides me? But the reality is something very frightening can take place there. And why this is so tender to me is that years ago, when I was in my early 30s, I had really never faced my past. I had never looked in the face of my own victimization, which started before my memory even kicks in. By the time I have any memory, by the time I was 3 and 4 years old, I was already exhibiting the outward behaviors of a child who had been sexually abused. Mm. By the time I was several years older than that, I began pulling my hair out by the handfuls. Mm. I mean, something was clearly wrong. And I would have little flashbacks here and there, but I never was able to just stare in the face of what had happened to me. It wasn't until God had really started growing me up in His Word that He knew I was going to be able to take it, when He began giving me the revelation of where I'd been and what I had gone through. And when these things began coming forefront in my mind, where I could really stare them in the face, and I realized some of the things that I had lived with, and some of the things that then I had used as excuses to get in all manner of sin and defeat, and all that began to just pile up in front of me. I went through a time when I can tell you the enemy was so tormenting my mind that I thought, I am going to lose my entire soundness of mind. God is somehow we're going to stand by and watch the enemy come and take my thinking. And at this point, I had two girls that I was raising that were in grade school by this time. I was a very, very responsible, very active mother. There was nothing in the world I wanted to be more than a mom. And yet I came to a place where I feared I was not going to be able to have the soundness of mind to raise my own children. Mm. Now, what I'm here to tell you, and what I'm here to tell them, and what I'm here to tell you, is it was a lie. It was from the enemy, and it was not true. At no time was my mind so fragile that it was about to break. God had me in the palm of His hand, and I could trust Him with the journey that He was taking me on, but it was the enemy's constant threat to me. You'll never make it through this. You'll never be able to think your way through this. You'll never be able to get out from under this cloud of darkness and all these compulsive thoughts. You will live here for the rest of your life. It was actually only a couple of months from beginning to end when my thoughts were this tormented. Now, I've always struggled with my thoughts. I have a strong tendency, as many of you may, to obsessive thinking. I'll just think a thought to death. I know many understand what I'm talking about, but this was a really serious time of torment when I thought that my mind was at full risk. And the thing about it is, we talk about how fragile the mind is, but that is not what the Scripture says. The Scripture says we have been given the right to soundness of mind. And I think back, and it's something we were talking about earlier. If the enemy had been able to convince me of that, and he knew, boy, he knew what he was strategically after. I had written a Bible study, one out of the 13. And at that point, the enemy knew that he better get to me fast, or this could be a threat. He doesn't want anybody learning how to wield the sword of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. And so he began to attack me and try to convince me that I would never be able to put three thoughts together clearly again for the rest of my life. But it was nothing but deceit.
I think it's really important for everybody who's watching, everybody in this room, in the studio here and at home, to recognize that you were having this battle as a believer.
Absolutely.
This was not the enemy.
As a Bible study writer and a teacher and someone who had been in ministry by this time for years.
A churchgoer.
Right.
A church attender.
Yes.
A Sunday school teacher. Now, by the way, you were a Sunday school teacher and you were lost.
I was.
And you were a choir member and you were lost.
I was. All right. I did all the right things.
And then came to Christ. After you came to Christ, did you ever have any problem with feelings that were not beneficial?
Absolutely. Just like Beth said, you know, the enemy, I mean, especially when you become a Christian, I think the open attack on you. He wants to isolate us, and he wants to paralyze our minds to where we cannot hear God. We can't function the way God wants us to.
Well, you know, she quoted the verse about God not giving us a spirit of fear. Mm-hmm. But now, as a believer, did you have a spirit of fear working on you?
Oh, absolutely. I had it before I became a Christian, and then I feel like that even though I had Jesus in my heart, that doesn't naturally just take care of it. I mean,
that's the point I'm trying to make. You were a Christian, and you were, fear was still prevailing, and you were a Christian, yet you were being tormented. Mm-hmm. Did fear, were you afraid of something too in any way?
You know, I'm like Betty, and it was so interesting that we would be able to have this platform together because our fear took a demonstration in two completely different ways, but I've dealt with fear all of my life. I would tell you that it really was my major stronghold as a child, and every unreasonable thing you could think of, all the way to paranoia. At the point that I described in my life, when the enemy is trying to convince you that what he's telling you is your truth, and there's no getting out of it. I know, Betty, you know what I'm talking about. I don't know how the mind of a man works. I just know the mind of a woman.
You don't need to know.
I'm sure that's true. I bet that's true. But I know I can.
We're trying to be delivered from our own thoughts. You don't need any part of it.
I just wonder if anybody besides me just fixates. I was telling them, I said, I've got such a story to tell you about my border collie who is just coming up on a year old. And border collies have a real tendency toward OCD. They're very, very obsessive compulsive. And she loves her ball so much that she barks with it out in the backyard. She tries to intimidate the dog on the other side of that fence by barking with a ball in her mouth. It's rendered very ineffective.
That'd be scary.
She drops her ball in her food and eats around it. Drops the ball. If she wants to get some water out of the toilet, which I don't recommend to her, but the other day I could hear her digging around, splashing water in the toilet. She had dropped the ball in it so she could get a drink and then was trying to get it back out of it. And my point is, I realized that I thought, that's me. Where everything, I get fixated on one thing. Somebody tell me they're with me.
No.
That ball is in my mouth. I talk, I drop it in my food because the whole time I'm eating, I'm still thinking about it. I don't care what we're conversing about. I'm thinking about my obsessive thought pattern. Mm-hmm. Anybody?
Mm-hmm.
And just everything, where this thing, whether it's unforgiveness, whether it's what somebody said to us, whether for me during the period of time I described to you, it was what happened to me. I played it and replayed it and replayed it and replayed it in my mind. Over and over, I replayed that tape. And I thought,
did you ever hear the enemy adding to that you could justify any inappropriate actions because
of
what happened to you?
Absolutely. And that I would never be. My big thing was, you will never be anything different than that. That is your value. That is what will make somebody desire you. That is your thing, and there's no way out of it. And that whole feeling that I would never be clean and I would never be pure. Now, Scripture told me something different than that. Mm-hmm. And when Betty was talking a moment ago, how did we both feel this way, even though we may have acted it out in totally different ways? Mine was carnality, where Betty, for you, was timidity. Mm-hmm. But both of those are strongholds that keep us from being effective in what God's called us to do.
No doubt.
But we did not yet know the Word of God to take Him up on it, to believe. You know, so as a man thinks, so is he. We're going to act out of how and what we think. And so as I would obsess on that thing that was bothering me and would be in that cycle of defeated thought, then that's what I acted out of. Mm-hmm. And it was miserable.
You know, I look back on my past being without a father, without a home, and being left by a mother who couldn't care for me, and then being taken from the place I'd been left, and then literally taken from a situation where there was at least an appearance of stability into total poverty
and just chaos.
It's a despicable way to live. When I became a Christian, I tried to block the whole past out. And I'd gotten good at forgetting. Now, I don't know whether you ever tried to block things. You know, you were talking about when they'd come back up and that you had to bring them back. But I tried to block them. And a friend of mine, who I thought really had great wisdom, his name is Billy Foote. And he became a singer in my first meetings and crusades. And Billy said to me on one of our trips, he said, "Tell me about your past when you were a boy." And I said, "Well, I blocked it out and don't remember it." He said, "Well, you need to remember it."
Yes.
He said, "You really need to remember it." Well, I thought of a couple of things and I told him. He said, "Oh, my goodness." He said, "You need to tell me more." And I began to lay the story out, and as I began to lay it out, I began to weep, which perhaps was in itself a healing.
Yes.
But as I began to weep, what he said, people need to hear this. And I said, well, I don't even want to remember it again. I'm just telling you. He said, no, people need to hear this because, he said, so many people are there and they're stuck. And he said, you need to remember it. And I did. And here's what happened as a result of it. I began to realize how big God is to be able to take us through the circumstances that people would say, you know, that's impossible. You've been set up to be one of the most despicable types of people who ever lived. The setting and the surroundings and the environment is such to produce this type of an individual. But God interrupts all of that. And I think that's what everyone needs to hear. I mean, we are all so different. And we as men have a tremendous battle in our mind with our thoughts. And by the way, you may think, some people have told men, well, you get married, you'll never have a problem with lust or being attracted. Well, that's not true. That's not the healing for all of that, even though you marry somebody beautiful or precious or wonderful. And then they'll say, well, you get older. Well, these things are no longer a problem. I'm sorry, I'm about the oldest person I know now. And I'm telling you, don't age out of it. So what we have is we really have a battle in
yes,
the mind.
We do.
And when you were talking about how the enemy wanted to short circuit the purpose of God in you, it wasn't just Beth Moore. It wasn't just James Robison as two individuals, or you as an individual that the enemy's targeting and said, well, I'll just take you out. He wants to take out the purpose of God
yes.
in any available
yes,
life.
That's right.
And whatever that purpose is, it is significant and important.
That's right.
Because the people that impacted me never made headlines. They have in heaven, but they never made them here. You would not have known the people that influenced me. You didn't know Billy Foote's name, perhaps, until I just mm-hmm. said it, that he affected me. But you see, somebody made a divine deposit in me because something had happened in them. And the thing you need to understand is God has a purpose for your
yes.
life. Now, the enemy hates you. He wants to control you, but he really hates what God can do through your life to bless others. As you want to be blessed, so God wants to bless others through you. God wanted to bless people through you, but the enemy wanted to keep you stuck and buried, wanted to keep me stuck, wanted to keep Betty stuck. And you know, people look at us, oh, well, y'all are important to God. Everybody listening to us is important to God. They're important as a parent. They're important as a neighbor. They're important as a coworker. They're important as a brother or sister. They're important as a spouse. Everyone, in whatever place you are, you're important to God. And the enemy is attacking the purpose of God in your life. Excuse me, I hope that didn't interrupt
where you were headed. No, it's so true. And the thing about it, we will always be in the battle, but make no mistake, we are meant to be more than overcomers in that battle. We aren't stuck with defeat in our minds. We don't have to sit back and think this is what human beings do. We have other options. Mm-hmm. We have true. I'm talking. We have power that is beyond anything the human mind could possibly conceive of. We have what Scripture calls, in one phrase, the very mind of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That for those of us who have received Christ Jesus as our personal Savior, His Spirit comes and takes up residency, and literally the soundness of His mind overtakes mine. You know, when I think sometimes to myself that as messed up as I've been in the course of my life, I've never been 100% messed up since He came into my life, because His part is doing fine. Can anybody get that with me?
Yeah.
Does that make sense to anybody?
Oh, yes.
It never was just a total wreck, because the part of Him that abides in me has been whole and complete the entire time He's been there. The more I let Him just release His Spirit into my feelings, into my emotions, and into my thought processes, the more I live in victory. And the thing that I keep thinking, I've said this to our viewers here at Life Today so many times, and I say that in humble partnership with the two of you, is that it doesn't matter where you've been and what you've been through, you can be free.
Yeah.
You can be free.
And that freedom, this is the thing you've got to understand. I'm trying to tell you that aging, marriage, a new status in life doesn't end the battle.
No.
We never do get away from the enemy still attacking us.
No,
so that
won't
go away, but we don't have to live as trampled ground. You know, give us those three R's that you use in this teaching. Name those, and I want to camp on one
okay.
of them for just
okay.
a second.
Okay, we talk about reclaiming, mm-hmm. reclaiming the soundness of mind, something that I'm hoping is going to happen this week. I'm really asking God to do huge things, James.
Absolutely.
And huge things. I want miracles. Mm-hmm. I want wonders. I'll take signs, whatever God wants to do to just perform miracles over our thinking and for us to get a clue. But we're going to learn that he did say, as surely as I've given you a spirit of power, as surely as I've given you a spirit of love, I have given you a sound mind. I want us to reclaim it. I also want us to learn how to replace that spirit of fear with the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. We were not given a spirit of fear or timidity. Mm-hmm. We were given the spirit of Christ himself, and then renewing, that we got to learn how to what this process that we've been using for all these years, that clearly if you're like me and still in that place where I live so much of my life, that we've got to replace our old thoughts with the new thoughts of Christ and what he says is true about us, and learn to believe it and act on it.
You know, when I think about reclaiming, I really got to give you this picture, because, you know, I love the outdoors. I don't know as much about farming as I wish I did, and as the people in Bible days did. They really understood it. But it was an agrarian culture. So
yes.
when Jesus talked about farming and about harvest, about grain, wheat, and tares, and about briars and all of that, people understood. But here's the thing I think it is critically important for us to understand. We need to reclaim this fertile field that can produce good fruit. Because there is an enemy that wants to grow everything but good fruit, and that process begins in the mind.
Yes.
So we reclaim the property,
yes.
the purchased possession that God has purchased at great price, and we need to give him this mind so we begin to grow good fruit.
That's exactly right, because it's going to grow out of those thoughts. Everything we do of purpose, everything we do that has eternal value to it is going to grow out of our thought life. That's where that fertile ground is, and that's where the change takes place. We can't just decide, well, it's a place to start, that we just decide, I'm going to act differently. I'm going to do everything I can to act differently. That's a glorious thing. Good place to begin. But listen, we'll never do it just based on what we just are determined to do with our actions. It's got to be a change of mind, and it's got to be a change of heart.
And for me, it was realizing that as the enemy had tried to, he tries to make us feel insignificant.
Yes.
And in there, that's where I was. And as soon as I realized that God created me and that I wasn't insignificant, he hadn't made a mistake, and that he gave his son for me,
yes.
that I might have eternal life, and that he wanted to nurture me. He wanted to put in me everything that he had created me to be and to do, and that I might be a shining light for him.
And not an imitation of somebody else.
Let the enemy know that I am important
That's
to
right.
God.
He wants
to give us everything pertaining to life and godliness.
Yes.
Here's what I'd like you to know. In a half hour, we can't walk you through the processes of renewal that are really important to us. I mean, it'd be wonderful if we could just flip a switch and all things are new. Well, the beginning is new. It's that simple as saying, all right, I'm going in a new direction.
Yes.
But I realize there are going to be some processes of renewing. You can't even get a computer to behave properly if you don't program the trash
That's right.
And program new information in.
That's good.
And this is the greatest computer, greater than anything anybody else has ever created, and it is under attack. And we can have the beautiful mind, the sound mind. We can be filled with love. We don't have to be controlled by fear. Here's what I'd like you to do, and just say today, I'm going to start this process. And it is a process. A beautiful mind, 5 hours right here. Now, we've just spent maybe 20 minutes or so where you've just been listening and interested, I believe, because you identify. But where can we go? When we can have a beautiful mind, there can be this renewing so that we can know the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God.
Yes.
We start by presenting to God ourselves as a living sacrifice. Read this in Romans 12, 1 and 2. You present yourself a living sacrifice to God. And then this renewing process, it's a work of God. Let us help you. I want you to get either the DVD or CDs. I want you to get Beth Moore's book, Breaking Free. It will bless you. And I'm telling you, there is no shortcut. There's a shortcut to the start of the
yes.
journey.
Yes.
But the journey is a process.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't have to live as trampled ground. You don't have to live with a life that brings forth painful briars and thorns and misery and something that has no fruitfulness, just tares that have no wheat, no strength, no nourishment. You can have a life that is inspirational to others. That's what Betty experienced, free to be herself. Not just the church lady, the religious, traditional woman down at church, but defeated and fearful. Incredible change. I know what God can do, but it is a process. There's a telephone number there on the screen. We're offering you the DVD or the CD and the books. We're asking you for the DVD, a gift of $89, for the CD, $49. Now, what you're going to help us do is minister to others. This television program, all that we do, is carried by love. I want to remind you of something. We are caring full-time for 6,000 orphans in life centers all over the world, 13 different countries. Those children depend upon us for help. Would you consider maybe adding $25 or $50 and say, I want the material to help me, but I'd like to help some of these children. I'd like to make an additional gift to help them. I pray you'll consider doing that. Use your bank card like it's a check or write a check, make it to life, you're sharing life, and we want to help enrich your life and inspire you in life. So we'll happily send you the material you ask for it. But consider reaching out and touching some of these precious children. Every month in our life centers, we're ministering directly to over 6,000 children. You can help us do that, and I thank you so much for it. Thank you for making the call. You could go online if you'd like to, lifetoday.org.
Are you overwhelmed with life circumstances? Is your life filled with feelings of rejection, insecurity, and fear? Do you often feel like you're going to lose your mind? Introducing Beth Moore's new series, A Beautiful Mind. In this 5-part series, Beth exposes the enemy's lies you are believing and shows you how to walk in victory. She reveals how to reclaim your right in Christ to be free and healthy, physically and spiritually. With God's Word, you can replace the spirit of fear with a spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. In this new series, Beth shares her personal story and struggles and gives you practical tools to take control of your thought life to produce a beautiful mind. Respond today, and we'll also send you Beth Moore's best-selling book, Breaking Free, along with Betty Robinson's book, Free to Be Me.
God has not given you a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind.
Call now to receive the entire A Beautiful Mind package on audio CD with your gift of just $49, or request the DVD series for just $89. And remember, your gift today will help us reach out to thousands of orphans and their communities through our 13 life centers around the world. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
I hope you are calling. And by the way, if you ever call and get a busy, that's a good sign. That means a lot of people are saying, I want to get started reclaiming this wonderful sound mind that God has given me and renewing. Do ask for the DVDs. I hope you'll get that. You know something? You may just want to kind of start a little Bible study. This is 5 hours in 5 different sections dealing with areas of renewing our mind. You want to say thanks to Beth. She's going to be back with us talking more. About
joy.
A beautiful mind. Beth, thank you so much.
It's so much
thank
fun.
You.
Thank you.
And thank all of you. And by the way, thanks so much for helping us bless others, especially children that are overlooked. Thanks for your help.
What am I thinking that is deception? What is the deceit? What's the lie I'm believing?
Keeping a sound, beautiful mind tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.